Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
A friend of mine was video chatting and was having a conversation with two of her friends from college. Now, they happen to be black, which is the only reason that this is relevant in this conversation is what happened next. They were sitting in their car in front of their apartment building eating some Italian shaved ice that they had just purchased. And one of them mentioned that they continually saw a police car going by, and then it circled back, and then a second car joined, and the lights came on, and the vehicles were surrounded, and the two young ladies were asked what was going on and informed that there was a canine unit in their car. And the girls were, of course, upset and very scared. And the police informed them that they had received a call of suspicious behavior and that they were investigating. Mindly, all the girls were doing were sitting in front of their apartment eating shaved ice. So the question is, what would prompt suspicious behavior to be sitting in your car eating shaved ice in the middle of the afternoon? Events like this, sadly, are common. Now, again, I want to be very clear that I support law enforcement, and the vast majority of the people who serve and who protect us, they put their life on the line. Everything, the statistics are very clear. The vast majority do fantastic, wonderful jobs, great interactions. Sadly, there are a few exceptions, and just like so many things in society, the negative things are magnified in so many ways. So we're in the middle of sadly these protests and riots. Some angry opportunistic people have stepped in and hijacked the protests for the killing of George Floyd for their own interests, rather than just the Black Lives Matter movement. And these things continue, and we have this powder keg in our society, and I'm sure you all feel it. As you know, I spent 13 years of my life serving a multicultural ministry. And I got to do life with some of the most wonderful, honest, hard-working, God-fearing, family-oriented people that I've ever had the privilege of knowing. I love them and their families, and I am forever grateful for the contribution that these dear friends have had on my life. But to be quite honest, when we would talk about race and about racial issues, I cannot think of a single one of my friends who had not had some incidence of experiencing racism, being looked at with mistrust or contempt, being singled out for suspicion or wrongdoing, going into a clothing store, and all of a sudden a ton of people in there, yet they garnered all the attention. And, you know, I also remember the conversations of them being, some of the conversations that were had of this sense of distrust of law enforcement for a few of my dear friends, not all certainly, but a few of my dear friends. When going out to eat and socializing with my black friends, I witnessed these things firsthand. I witnessed ways that I was treated compared to my friends. And I witnessed how conversations changed and the uncomfortableness, unfortunately, that was evident. Statistically speaking, black Americans are less likely to get a high-quality education, have high-paying jobs. They're less likely to live in low-crime neighborhoods. They're less likely to grow up in homes with fathers. According to 2019 statistics, 2.5 more times likely to be killed by whites in incidents with police. And we're talking in terms of not numerically, but percentage-wise to the population. So, you know, let me repeat this illustration that Robert Morris had a few weeks ago. It actually demonstrates what's called Miles' Law, which states that where you stand depends on where you sit. And again, if I show this to you and you look at it and I say, what does this say? You'll say, hand sanitizer. And I look at it and it says ethanol alcohol 62%. It looks different because our perspective is different. And so the whole entire purpose of these last 2 weeks' conversation is to understand our perspective and where we see things, and then understand where other people's perspective is. And I know you think, well, this isn't a real big deal. Well, it's a big conversation that has to be had. We don't know what we don't know. And we see what we see, and we don't see what we don't see. Is that a fair statement? Hello? Okay, I can tell you what it's like the first day you shave your head and you sleep. And you don't sleep because you feel the pillowcase and you feel everything. And you're thinking, oh my heavens, what's all this breeze? Because I'm more sensitive and I was used to having hair on my head, and then all of a sudden I did not have hair on my head. It didn't happen gradually for me. It happened very quickly. So for those of you who say I'm bald, but you went bald gradually, we probably don't have the same experiences. I was raised to respect police. I have never in my life feared police or ever had reason to. I will say that sometimes if I'm going a little too fast or I don't have my seatbelt on, I get nervous. Okay, that's for me. But the police that I know are honorable. They're hardworking, good men and women. I raised my children to trust and to respect police and not to fear them. So in my world, from my perspective, this narrative cuts, if I want to be honest and have a conversation, the narrative that cuts against what I know. Again, reminder for those of you who weren't sure, I am white. But I want to share a story that happened when I went to Cuba. I went to Cuba. I love the Cuban people. I love them. But when we arrived, we were detained at the airport, and some of our group was held overnight. A lot of things happened. And I got to tell you, very quickly, I learned to fear the Cuban police. I'm just saying. My daughter wants to go to Cuba. She wants to do a mission trip in Cuba. But because of my experience with the police in Havana, I have to listen to what I've said to her and how I have related things to her. Okay? I've told her, literally, you need to watch out as an American for the Cuban police and the Cuban authorities. You need to be... I have said that to my daughter because of my experiences. That's different. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's a different country than we have here. It's a different culture. But as I thought about that, I remembered the conversations that I had with some of my black friends who had experienced racism and had some difficult things. And although we may not have experienced racism, it doesn't mean that it's not a real issue. So what is the Bible? What does the Bible say about racism? Well, we'll start with Galatians 3:28, our verse for this series, which is, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay? what the Bible does not say, what the Bible doesn't say about certain topics is important. A lot of people just seem to twist things around. Let's go to what this definition of racism, because now this is under fire. I was challenged this week as now Merriam-Webster. Go ahead and put the racism definition up. Next slide, please. The racism definition, according to Merriam-Webster, which I understand is now being rewritten, which is another conversation, says racism is a belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. Okay? So that's what it's saying racism is. Okay, prejudice. It goes on to say racial prejudice or discrimination. So think of that word prejudice. We see the word prejudice, and it's a compound word. Pre-justice, okay? Prejudice. So that means pre, which is before. That means before you are doing, before you're going to judge. So you're judging something before. In other words, can you walk into a situation and prejudge it? Can you see another person and prejudge them? What we're saying is this is what we're calling racism. And I'm going to give you, I will absolutely give it to you that right now, it is so hard to identify racism because the word, everything is racist now. You know, the type of butter you eat. Now you realize, I didn't know, yesterday it wasn't, today it is. All going down the line. And some things, it gets overused. And three women in Washington, D.C. were trying to help out to the protesters by going and scrubbing graffiti off a public building. They were filmed by a woman who cursed at them and called them racist for cleaning up after the protests. Was there intent in their heart? No. But everything becomes this. And because everything, the word is thrown around so much, it's really hard to understand this. It is a serious word and a serious thing, a serious issue, but it's in danger sometimes of being overused and losing the true importance. To prejudge. It's a hatred of somebody because of their race. Or it's thinking another race is either superior or inferior. To prejudge somebody because of their skin color. To think that one person is more skilled, more able, more intelligent, more trustworthy because of the color of their skin. My church family, I'm just telling you, goes against God's intent. It's not how God created us. So racism, my first point, three very quick points for us today. We're going to be out early today. How about that? Happy anniversary. And for you, anniversaries this week, your anniversary presents, we'll get this. And by the way, happy anniversary to all of our anniversary people. That's fantastic. So racism goes against God's intent. To being racist, to be prejudiced goes against God's intent. Again, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all, and I underlined it there, you are all one in Christ Jesus. There is society loves to divide where Christ loves to unite. God's word says that we are one in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that's how it played out here? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't look down on somebody because of their differences? If we didn't prejudge them? If we didn't determine because they're either male or if they're female or if they're Jew or if they're Greek? All of these different things that we didn't prejudge them. And again, I kind of think of what has been experienced in our lives and how that shapes us. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35 says this. Really good text here. God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation. So, how many of you think that the world would be better if we were more godly? Yep. So if we want to be more godly, that means the attributes of God we would adopt in our lives. And here an attribute of God is God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation. Now, I hope I'm preaching to the choir. I really do. I really do. So if God shows favoritism, that's something. So I want you to understand, racism goes against God's intent. Because racism also defies, in other words, it goes against God's creation. For that, I defer to last week's sermon. Our entire sermon, we talked about the unity. We talked about how we have a commonality of heritage as the human race. And we use the phrase, there's one race, the human race, okay? That we are all, in a way, brothers and sisters. So let's go on here. Galatians chapter 5, 14 through 15. Let's all read this together, gang, because this is really good. For the whole law is fulfilled. Okay, everybody read together. Ready? One, two, three. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Okay, that's a really, really powerful thing. That's a really, really powerful understanding for us. That the love for our neighbor is a command, and that the entire law was summed up with loving God and loving your neighbor. And by the way, Jesus went on, when Jesus talked about the greatest commandment, he then told them a story. He told them a story about the Good Samaritan. Okay? And who was our neighbor? And Jesus went to great lengths to say that your neighbor is the one who's different from you. That's how we show the love of God, is by not loving in the spirit of favoritism, by showing no favoritism in whom we love. In fact, it even goes on to say that we're called to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. So the songwriter was right. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, that's not in our hymn book today. We're not going to go there, Bert. So God's word says that we are one in Christ. He lets us know that we're not to show favoritism, that we will fulfill the law if we would love our neighbor as ourselves. But I love verse 15. What happens if we don't? But if you bite and devour one another, does that sound like an accurate depiction of our society right now in the United States? That we are biting and devouring one another. Again, I go back to this. I don't know of a single person who wasn't appalled and thought it was wrong, reprehensible, the death of George Floyd. Regardless of anything else. But that was not okay. I don't know anyone. So it should have been a unifying moment that we all came together. And yet, we've devolved into biting and devouring one another. So racism defies the command to love our neighbor. It goes against God's intent. It goes against God's creation. It goes against God's command that we should love our neighbor. And the next thing is racism defiles the Great Commission. It defies the Great Commission. Remember Matthew 29:18. Jesus said that we are to go, okay, and we're to make disciples of all nations. That we're supposed to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus gives instructions pre the ascension where he tells us that we're supposed to go into Jerusalem, into Judea, into Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We're to take this message empowered by the Holy Spirit. So this is part of the Great Commission. Racism defies. It goes against the Great Commission. Racism goes against God's intent. Next point for us here today, an important one for us is this. Racism is deep-rooted. Okay, it runs deep. It runs deep. There are people who have prejudged people, who are prejudiced against people whom they've never met. Why? Why? Because it's learned. It's learned. Because I got to tell you, there are certain people, when I came to Pike Tucky and started my time of being honored to serve here, I remember a few folks coming in and having conversations and saying, hey, you need to watch out for blah, blah, blah in this city. Because blah, 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 fill in the blank. Might be you, might not. I'm not saying it. But they said, you need to watch out. Why? Because I'm just going to let you know that this person might be angry, or this person might be that, or this person might be this. And I remember, okay, well, I hadn't had any encounters with them. But other people said, well, look, you need to watch out because blah, 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 blah. And so then I walk into those encounters with blah, 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 prejudging. Wrong. You know, there are certain people who, because they've had something happen in their life, and this is totally off topic. This has nothing to do with racism. This has to do with hurt people. Okay? The reason that some hurt people continue to hurt people is because no one will let them get past the hurt people. There are labels that have been put on individuals. There have been labels that have put on people. Look, I got to tell you, you know, having an alcoholic father and the things that happened in my family, I remember going, and I've shared this before, I remember going to school. And my teacher saying, oh, are you blah, blah, blah's kid? You Len Ten Eyck's son? Say, what? Or are you fill in the blank, both of my sisters, you know, they had very different academic careers. And I remember some of the longer standing teachers being like, oh, are you like this sister? Are you like the other sister? And they were trying to prejudge me for what happened. Gang, we have to watch out for that. Racism is deep rooted. David French, there's a really interesting article that David French wrote. And I just want to read you just a piece about the deep rooted nature of racism. It says, slavery was legal and defended morally and ultimately militarily from 1619 to 1865. After slavery, racial discrimination was lawful and defended morally and often violently from 1865 to 1964. Look, I was born in 68. Some of you in this room, I'd say, were born before 64. Not trying to be offensive. Some of you online have probably born before 64. If you're born a long time before 64, you might not be online, but maybe somebody helped you get there. It's reasonable. There was age discrimination. Bad for me. I'm sorry. Yeah. Look, it's reasonable. I've got relatives who are older than me who do better on their iPads than I do. So it's reasonable to believe, David French goes on, it's unreasonable to believe that the social structures and cultural attitudes that were constructed over a period of 345 years will disappear in 56 years. It's unreasonable to believe that. Moreover, the consequences of 345 years of legal and cultural discriminations are going to be dire, deep-seated, complex, and extraordinarily difficult to comprehensively address. And so what I want you to know is that two things can be true at once. And this is why I reject so many social binaries that we're given now. Because we're given one of two binaries to believe. Either A, as a nation, we've come a long way, or B, we have a long way to go. People think you have to be one or the other. I reject that. Perhaps we have come a long way, and, everybody say, and we got a long way to go. That's the point of which I want us to, because, you know, I've gotten some blowback about why in the world would you preach on a message like this? It's so controversial. Because the church, and again, I really hope that this has not come across as political. That is absolutely not my intent. I've been trying to see, how does God view this situation? Because if we look, the church should be at the forefront of our culture. We are salt. We are light. And if we don't speak sensibly, you know, we're in trouble. So two things can be true at once. We have come a long way, but we also have a long way to go. And I don't know of anyone, I really don't. I would probably not be friends with them. I don't know of anyone who really thinks that they're a racist, who says, yep, I concur to that philosophy that there are certain people because of the color of their skin who are lesser than others. I don't know people, and I would really struggle with them. I definitely want to debate that thought. Most everyone I know, again, was horrified by the killing of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and the list goes on and on. But what about our attitudes, our inner things? Racism is not conquered with only the changing of our actions, but with the changing of our hearts and thoughts. It's how we think. I can change my actions, but my heart can still be a long way away. So you're getting ready to go to a checkout lane. You're in a grocery store, and there are three lanes open. And their cashiers are of different race. Do you choose to go to a cashier of your race and avoid going to the one of the other race? If you're hiring for a position, you have three resumes. And you've never met these individuals, and you look. You have Linda, Sally, and Lakeisha. Do you just look towards one, towards the other, having never met them, having never met these individuals? Does your mind lean away from one? Only you can be honest with yourself about preferences, about the judgment on other people's preferences. You're walking down and you see someone who has made a decision or a life choice, and you're thinking, and it's got something to do that is a different from you. Do you judge someone other's preference? I mean, goodness gracious, we see that in Scripture. You see that with Moses, Moses' wife, Moses' sister. God calls them out on it. There's some hard things here, gang. Only you can be honest with yourself about these deep rooted issues. And I believe that we can only be honest with ourselves to the extent that we see ourselves. So I would say this: God knows you better than you know yourself. So that's why I advocate that people pray. It takes God to reveal some of these deep-rooted issues. Racism is racism no matter what your color. No matter what your color, racism is racism. I know friends of other races who don't want to be around other races because of their past racial hurts. And that continues to add to the problem. And by the way, a very troubling statistic. 9 out of 10 churches in the United States of America are primarily one race. Now, I get our demographics here in Piketuckee. I really do. But I hope that all people are welcome to come to church here. I hope that. So what are we supposed to do? Look, we need to understand that we have to. Another reason that racism continues and it's deep-rooted is because there's a refusal to call it out when you see it. You hear the joke and you laugh on the joke rather than saying, is that really appropriate? Is that truly what you think? You know, we really have to understand, to have those types of conversations. Call out. We're supposed to call out divisiveness within the church, right? Okay, Matthew 18 says, gives us an understanding. They're supposed to go to the person who sinned against you to call it out in love. And if that doesn't work, to take someone with us. Titus 6:10 says that if a divisive person refuses to change, that there are some patterns there. Division is not welcome in the church. Can the same be said when it comes to race? How do we do this? We have a loving conversation. My final point is this. Just some simple steps. Some simple steps to move forward. And I know that this is an uncomfortable conversation. I realize that. And as I said last week, I sure hope that it doesn't come across as me trying to lecture. As I have gone through, I wouldn't consider myself a prejudiced person. And if someone said, am I a racist? I said, no, I absolutely would say no. And then the Lord said, why are you asking that question? The question you should be asking yourself is not if, it's in what ways. And I got places to grow. So a couple things. Number one. Ask God to search and change your heart, to be willing to have it challenged and changed. You have to be willing to have your heart challenged and changed. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. David said this, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Perhaps we were brought up with conversation that was marginalizing others. And we're modeling the wrong things for our own children, which is my second point. Talk about this at home. We have to have those conversations. Again, you have to see if we were brought up in times where people were marginalized or we're modeling things for our kids, we have to address that. We need to model and to raise up the next generation not to drag our issues and our forefathers' issues on, because it has to stop. And an environment of love is essential for this. Ephesians chapter 4, 29. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. The next one is build bridges, not boundaries, because Satan's strategy is to divide us. Consider Psalm 133, is that behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Right now, I'm going to admit it's tense. And I'm also going to say this. A lot of my friends in the black community are really raw because it's being forced to the forefront, and people sometimes are not very sensitive in trying to press these conversations. But for us, we need to have the conversations with ourselves. It starts with ourselves. It starts at home. And then we need to look to build bridges, not boundaries. Now, again, this is hard because so much has changed. Because I was raised, don't see race, don't see race. And now that narrative has changed. And again, I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know what the best way forward is. I really don't. I'm just like everyone else. I'm trying to walk my way through, but I'm not willing to sit on the sideline and wait. I want to have these conversations with God and figure it out. So if we're no longer not supposed to see race, we're supposed to see and to celebrate, to see and then to comprehend or to conquer any preferences or prejudices that we have. Okay, acknowledge it. Don't ignore others' cultures' contribution to the progression of civilization. Again, whites were not the only people to build society. And know this, our nation is a baby. We're still a baby nation, okay? But the most important is my last point. Welcome God back in our nation. I think we have a national problem with race. And the primary reason we have a national problem with race is because we have a national crisis with God. When we remove God, everything devolves and falls apart. This is a spiritual issue. And part of the reason is because the church hasn't done its job. Remember, as we prayed, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Let's us welcome God back into our nation, and let's advocate strongly for God to come back.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org. Or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.